Welcome to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Once again, I'm glad you're here. I am Pastor John McClain, and I am with the man, the one and only. This is, if you don't know my co-host, this guy has come from a special place. Now he's here. This guy can motivate your grandma. I'm telling you, yes. I got a special guy in studio with me. They, on the streets, they call him Andreas Ruiz of I Believe in Myself. In studio, we call him Andreas Ruiz of Common Good Radio Show. Yes. Thank you for being here, brother.
Yeah, man. Hey, thank you for having me here. I'm happy to be here, and I can also motivate your nana, okay?
Yeah,
so not
absolutely.
Just your grandma, mm-hmm. your nana, okay?
Yeah, your Mexican nana, or not Hispanic. Just your nana, but your ill nana.
Yes, any type of nana, yeah. Tatas, you know, okay? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's get it going.
Let's get it going. This is going to be a hot show. I hope you guys are ready today, because we're doing something a little bit special. We actually are doubling the guest. And not only are we doubling the guest, but we have powerhouses on the show with us today, because we're, let's call this like Woman's Power Hour today, because we have two amazing women in the community that are just doing things to help people. One of them is with is going to be here representing North Star Hyperbaric and North Star Neurology, kind of speaking in lieu of Dr. Carol Hendricks right now. Her name is Robin Wright O'Bannon, and she'll be talking to us all about kind of concussion damage repair and all different treatments like hyperbaric oxygen and some really like lofty cool stuff that like ways that we can deal with repairing the brain, especially you know, like the popular football idea of all these people concussions and, you know, how do we handle that. And then on the second half of the show, we will be having actually a coworker of mine, and in some ways, her name's Sharon Francis. She actually works at the La Frontera Rap Center. So she is pretty much the first person that you will speak to if you lose your housing, you're looking to get housing, you want to get connected with services.
Cool.
Likely you have spoken to Sharon Francis. So
awesome.
I'm really excited to have both these women and you know, to speak with us. One of them going to be on the phone, and one of them we're going to actually have in studio. And today we're going to do something a little special. Sharon Francis, being an essential worker, frontline worker, who likely has to wear her mask for 8 hours any given day, we're going to wear our mask the whole entire time we have her on the show. So if you guys hear us a little muffled, you know exactly why it is. It's because we have our mask on. We're going to try to give a little ode to our essential workers that, you know, they got to go through it every day. You know, whether we like it or not, politicized as it is, you know, there's people out there, whether they like it or not, they got to wear their mask every single day. So we're going to go ahead and take our hats off to them and put our masks on for them. And we're going to do the second half of the show with our mask on with Sharon Francis in studio. Technically, if she says she doesn't want to wear her mask, we're not going to make her, but we'll be wearing ours.
Let's do it.
So we're going to, like I said, we're going to start this one a little different. So we're going to, like always, though, we're going to make sure everybody know who gets the grace and who made this possible. The, you know, the best father we all could ask for, the G-O-D himself. And we're going to start with an opening prayer. So I like to do a little serenity prayer, and it goes a little something like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.
Amen.
So, yeah, it's awesome. And unfortunately, I won't be doing my verse of the week, and we won't be hearing Andreas's motivational tip of the week. But those who do want the verse, it's Romans 15:13. That's a good one that I sampled from a sermon that I watched this morning, and I share that with you. I definitely think it'll be fun. But let's go ahead and bring on Mrs. Wright O'Bannon, Mrs. Robin Wright O'Bannon, to the show, and let's talk about little North Star Hyperbaric and North Star Neurology, because I definitely, the big thing that this really touches me. Not only am I, you know, I'd like to think a good friend of Dr. Carol Henricks and a big fan of the work that North Star Hyperbaric does, our organization, Veteran Rescue Mission, I'd say has been working hand in hand with North Star Hyperbaric and North Star Neurology for the past couple years, because we've had people that have actually stayed in our program or that we've tried to connect with benefits that have also, one of those benefits has been getting hyperbaric treatment at North Star Hyperbaric. So definitely we not only give two thumbs up and give all the recommendations, but if you have any doubts whatsoever, know that this is the first step that you want to make. And that being said, welcome to the show, Robin. Thank you so much for being here with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Honored that you would have me.
I say the honor is all ours. I was looking at kind of a little bit of your bio and background, and just the fact that you're a veteran, you know, thank you for your service, and I'm proud to kind of like speak with you and kind of get your perspective of this type of treatment that is so brand new. Not too many people even know about it.
Yes, sir. I am Tech Sergeant Robin Wright O'Bannon, United States Air Force retired. I met Dr. Henricks several years ago. She is actually one of my very, very best friends. And you probably know by looking at my bio, especially at these interesting times, that I'm probably every minority, maybe with the exception of one, rolled up into one. And yet I feel that none of that really identifies me, because my identity is secure in my Creator. So thank you very much for the prayer. I had goosebumps. So I'm like, well, am I in the right place right now? This is awesome.
Well, good. That's good to hear. I mean, I definitely, just in doing a show, and I think I saw that you kind of have a background in radio yourself. We focus so much on content, you know, sometimes we forget about why it's all here. But for me, it's I make sure I don't forget, because he makes this all happen.
Absolutely. Everything I do is a ministry. I consider everything that I do my ministry, because I work for the ultimate Commander-in-Chief. And just in case there are any thoughts about that or any mistake about that, I'm just making it clear.
Yeah, well, good. Thank you. Thank you for being here for us, and thank you for saying that.
Yes, sir.
So tell us a little bit, other than the fact that Dr. Henricks is, you know, one of your best friends, and obviously, you know, you're going to have her back with what she's doing. Like, tell us about your experience with North Star, and like how, you know, you kind of got to the place where you are thanks to the probably your experience with North Star, I'm guessing, because technically, I don't know, maybe you have gotten treatment there or not, but my suspicion is you have.
Yes.
I need to.
Yes.
And if you have, I'm guessing you probably saw, you know, a world of difference, like many people I've seen get help there.
Absolutely. I realize that we're on unlimited time here. I have to say that the impact that this treatment and the relationships that surround the treatment have had on my life have been nothing short of miraculous. I believe that miracles do happen. They actually happen every day. But sometimes when you're in the midst of pain and you're in the midst of feeling like everything is falling apart, you don't always see that, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening. In 2005, or rather 2004, I was on active duty. And I was stationed in San Antonio, Texas, at Lackland Air Force Base. And I got up to go for a run with my airmen one morning at Oh Dark Hundred, right? Because that's when you run. And I collapsed on the floor. And I've never been the same since. Little did I know, there was this perfect storm of just crazy and stress and things that were going on in my body that I didn't know. That had it not been for the level of stress that I was under, there were several things that were going on at that time, it might not have ever been discovered. I am a veteran of Operations Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and Southern Watch. And among some of the things that I have going on in my body is I do have the anthrax vaccine, the entire series. And pyridostigmine bromide, or PTABs, which were the anti-nerve agent pills that we were given just in case Saddam decided to send nerve agent on over on one of his stub missiles, which he did not. So there's some neurological deficits that came there, but that's not the way the Department of Defense defined those things, because they really didn't know, and neither did VA. So one of the diagnoses, or a few of the diagnoses I had, was PTSD, lupus, fibromyalgia, major depressive disorder, and my blood pressure was out of control, but nobody could figure out what that was. So all of these things were happening, all of these symptoms, but there was no addressing the root cause because nobody knew what it was. I'll pause there just in case I'm talking too much. I have a tendency to do that.
Yeah, well, it's great. I mean, it's just, it's powerful.
Yeah,
we're in here, I think we're kind of just touched. I almost don't know how to react. It's just such an amazing experience you went through.
Well, because of this that I was going through, this syndrome, sometimes called Gulf War syndrome, kind of a garbage can descriptor because people don't know what to call it. I was retired from the Air Force, medically retired with 40 days notice after 18 years time in service. Once that happened, then the party, the real party began. But I want to tell you this because of what I heard while I was waiting to come on. I went out to my back patio one night when I was in San Antonio because nobody knew what was going on, and I was actually kind of being blamed, like, it's all in your head. Here's some antidepressants. Here's some high-powered drugs. We don't know what they do, but we don't want to do nothing. And I'm sitting out on my back patio, and I said, Heavenly Father, I said, whatever your will is for my life, I will do it. I did not bargain with him. I did not make any kinds of you know, deals, quid pro quos, addendums, none of that stuff. Just unconditionally, yeah. I will do it. And if there's anything standing in the way of that, please remove it.
Perfect. Wow. That's beautiful.
And yes, 40 days later, my Air Force career was over.
Wow.
Awesome. Now, well, I look forward to hearing more about that. We're going to go ahead and take our first break of the day, unfortunately. Usually at the best time.
It's a good stuff right now so far.
But definitely hold on to the goodies because they have to wait through the break to get the rest of
those
goodies.
I'm going to be waiting here, Robin.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, our injured ear Tom looks like he's going to be waiting too. But those that are listening, if you'd like to ask Robin some questions or if you'd like to be involved in the show, we're actually the first caller will get a free pair of tickets to Here Comes That Dreamer, which is a movie about all the work that we've been doing for the past 10 years that will be premiering at Harkins Theater on November 15th. The number to the studio is 790-2040. Give us a call. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
Dear Alyssa, the How-To Guide to Social Change by John McClain is the inside look to the life of a man that served through war, politics, homelessness, and drug addiction. And he turned it all into an opportunity to teach and help others, culminating into the making of the book, Dear Alyssa, a How-To Guide to Social Change, designed for the author's daughter. Go to Amazon.com to order a copy of Dear Alyssa, a How-To Guide to Social Change today. Whether you want to know how to be an entrepreneur, get into politics, or just read an inspiring story.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. I'm Pastor John McClain. I'm here with I Believe in Myself's own Andreas Ruiz. And if we sound a little muffled, because we are.
Yes.
We are wearing our mask in studio with Miss Sharon Francis with La Frontera Rap Center out of respect for the essential workers that have to wear their masks up to 8 hours every single day, mm-hmm. whether they want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually happy and excited to do this challenge, as you taught me. People like doing challenges.
Absolutely.
Because yep. They definitely deserve that respect. And Sharon Francis being a co-worker, I'd say a friend of mine, more than happy to accept any challenge to pay her respects. So, thank you for being in the studio with us. It's not your turn yet, so you don't get to have fun, but thank you nonetheless for being here.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for being
so,
here.
So we have Robin Ray O'Bannon on the phone with us, here to speak to North Star Hyperbaric and the amazing work that they do. Thank you once again, Robin, for being here with us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So, just to kind of like touch back or kind of round off the story, because I mean, like, you almost had Andreas here in studio in tears. Mm-hmm. Let's get to like the kind of the meat and potatoes, just because we both love Dr. Carroll so much. Like, what was getting treatment there, and like, how did that really kind of help some of the stuff like lupus and some serious stuff that you're going through? Like, how did that play out?
You know, sometimes whatever it is that you're diagnosed with may not be the thing. Sometimes you may not know what the thing is. But one of the things that oxygen knows is how to heal. It doesn't pick and choose what it heals. It just simply places the body in a much better position to heal, especially with the other adjunctive therapies like pulse electromagnetic field that you mentioned, or that was mentioned in the commercial or on the commercial break. There are also other modalities that are available, and all of them are drug-free. Mm. And one of the things that I love about Dr. Carroll is that she loves. Mm. You know, she knows who she works for as well. Like, we all know who we work for, and she works for the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I find so powerful about her, you know, you meet her and she's so unassuming, and you might think that she works for the doc. It'll be forever before you figure out she's the doc, because she doesn't make it about her. She makes it about the people that she treats. It mm-hmm. is incredible in this day and age where somebody actually has something like she has, and they don't make it all about the something that they have, you know. She has never lost sight of the fact that this is about the patient. This is about the person. And because she has love, that is why it works so well, or that is one of the reasons why it works so well. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy it sits at the hub of a wheel. And all of the other treatments, like the pulse electromagnetic field or infrared sauna or nutrient optimization or intravenous therapies or neurofeedback, all of those therapies, and I probably forgot one because it's like naming all seven doors, but all of those, at the end of the day, what they do or what they facilitate is the best way of putting it. What they facilitate is restoring hope in an individual who, by the time you make it to Dr. Carroll, I know this was my case, by the time I made it to her, I had been through homelessness. I had lost everything. I thought I'd lost my identity, but it was in the pit. I call it going to the pit. I think we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in the bottom of the pit that I learned who I was.
Mm.
I was more than a mom. I was more than an NCO. I was more than my circumstances. I learned that I'm his daughter, that I am his child. And it wasn't because of anything wrong that I did. But I want to tell you that those people who are going to rise up and lead at this time in history will be those not who are broken and who are angry and who are rebels without a clue and they need a cause. Leadership will come from those who have experienced the pit.
Wow.
Because
thank you so much, Robin. I hate to once again have to cut you off, but we're going to go ahead and go to break. But thank you so much for being on the show with us. It's been great talking with you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Robin. That was amazing.
La Frontera Center's supportive housing combines affordable housing assistance with wraparound supportive services for people experiencing homelessness, as well as people with disabilities. La Frontera Supportive Housing links decent, safe, affordable, community-based housing with flexible, voluntary supported services designed to help the individual live a more productive life. Go to LaFronteraAZ.org for assistance or to donate your time or resources to one of Arizona's most impactful organizations.
North Star Hyperbaric is an alternative treatment center that uses hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, to deliver the benefits of 100% medical-grade oxygen under pressure to injured tissue, enhancing oxygen delivery 7 to 12 times normal. Dr. Carol Hendricks of North Star Hyperbaric is a practicing neurologist who specializes in the use of HBOT and pulsed electromagnetic field therapy to help heal her patients. Go to NorthStarHBOT.com today to schedule a consultation.
Hi, I'm Andres Ruiz, the co-host of Common Good Radio Show and the founder of community building organization I Believe in Myself. And I am offering a free rundown and consultation to the first 10 listeners to sign up for a private or group life coaching consultation at IBelieveInMyself.org. We all need good support to help us to take our life to the next level. So let me help you believe in yourself so that you can pursue your goals and dreams and ultimately find your life's purpose. Go to IBelieveInMyself.org today to sign up and get more information.
Welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am still Pastor John McClain, wearing a Wu-Tang mask.
Thanks,
and
man.
In studio with me, I have the notorious Andres Ruiz with the I Believe in Myself
yes.
t-shirt on. And what's that mask say?
Oh, this is for the Youth Peace Conference. I'm going to be presenting this coming Friday.
Nice.
For our youth about mental illness and anxiety and depression. I'm going to tell my story.
And that's why you're big time. That's why
I'm,
you
I'm,
are
I'm
the
getting
second
there. I'm
part
getting
of
there.
The Common Good Radio Show, brother.
There you go.
You know, he started from the bottom. Now he is
now
right
I
here.
Now I am right
people,
here.
With us.
With, yes, John and the lovely Sharon Francis.
Absolutely. Yes. Mrs. Sharon Francis, the probably one of the most famous unknown people in all of Tucson with La Frontera Rap Center, who, if you've ever been unhoused, you had someone who was dealing with it, you kind of like needed to be connected in some capacity, and you went through La Frontera, likely you bumped into her in some capacity, and we're proud to have her in studio with
yes.
us. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you want to be... I do this every single time.
Yeah, it's just like right here.
You want to be about 6 inches away from the mic, and
okay.
you want to speak directly.
So you can hear your lovely voice. Yes.
Is that better?
Oh yes.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we gotta hear that smooth silkiness.
That West Virginia tang.
Mm,
right?
Getting it. There
we go. Twang.
For those from that area that moved here and just want to feel back home, we brought you Sharon Francis.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. So.
Do what I can.
There we go.
So you've been working at La Frontera for 18 years. I saw that part on your bio. What exactly is the rap team for those who don't know out there? And what does La Frontera do? Because I mean, I know a lot of people, they've never even heard of La Frontera.
They don't even know what La Frontera does. Mm-hmm. Yeah, La Frontera is a huge community asset. It's one of the original mental health centers in Tucson. It came about in about 1968. Mm. And for the last 7 or 8 years, we've been providing integrative care. So we can provide medical services as well as mental health and substance abuse services.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
La Frontera is a $41 million a year corporation. We do everything from children's services, adult, adolescent services. Mm. We have a housing component that is actually, I found this out the other day, the largest builder, or I don't know if you call it builder, but partner in the biggest developer of affordable housing in Southern Arizona.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I just found that out the other day. So Dan Ranieri, our CEO, has his finger on the pulse of whatever our community needs.
Yeah.
So he sees La Frontera as a community problem solver.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because definitely having the pleasure of working with him a little bit, I've never met a more creative, kind of more open-minded person in his position.
Exactly.
Like, we both, I think, we've been around a lot of CEOs or presidents of different, you know, big organizations in our community. Because we both have sat on as chairs with TPCH and all kind of different organizations, but Dan Ranieri sits in a league of his own with the things that he's willing to do for the community.
And he loves to work with community partners too, and that's what I like about him. Mm. You know, we have a lot of partnerships that we're working on right now, a huge one with the Center of Opportunity, where we're going to be developing a lot of affordable housing on that campus. So it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I'd say kind of like in the pivot to that, what are some of the ways that like someone who's experiencing homelessness or someone who maybe knows someone who's experiencing homelessness could get connected with you in particular?
Well, the RAP team is a community access point, we call it, and there are 8 different ones around the city.
Mm-hmm.
RAP is one, the Salvation Army is one, our Family Services. They're all listed on Tucson Pima Collaboration to End Homelessness website.
Mm-hmm.
It's tpch.net. But by coming or calling a community access point, a person can do a housing assessment called a VI SPDAT and get a referral into housing. And that's really the first step, is to make sure you have a referral into the system.
Yeah.
And that's for somebody that's actually living outside or living in an emergency shelter. In Tucson, if you're hanging out with family or friends or living on the couch, you know, you're not really considered homeless at that point. Mm. But if you're living in an emergency shelter or on the street, the first step would be to do a VI SPDAT and then familiarize yourself with the resources that are available, because there's a vast array of resources depending on what a person's particular need is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's probably every resource available to meet each individual need. You just need to know where it is and how to get to it.
Well, let's touch back on that idea, because I think that's kind of like a notion that doesn't get discussed enough, is the fact that people who do want to get housing or do want to get connected with certain services, you can't live on your friend's couch, and you can't live in a spare bedroom. You can't live in someone's backyard. You actually do have to enlist in shelter services and in transition services and in programs that you may not want to be part of, but this is kind of part of getting to that next level. I mean, certainly being a person, you know, a Pastor John, vulnerable moment of the day, homeless 5 years myself, I realized that there were certain sacrifices that I had to make if I wanted to get that free housing ostensibly, or that free, you know, food, or the, you know, this, that, or the other. So please speak on that more. I'm sorry.
Well, I think too, you know, people need to be creative in their thinking. So if you're still sleeping with friends or family in their spare guest room or on the couch, you're not really homeless. You haven't burned that bridge yet. And maybe you don't have to. Maybe you'll never become homeless. Part of, you know, solving the homeless crisis, in my opinion, is prevention. And if we can prevent even one person from becoming homeless, those resources can be used for someone else. So the first step, I think, is for somebody to look at what strengths do I have that I can tap into before I start using the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I have a family member that can give me a job, and maybe they've got a guest house I can use, and they'll let me stay there 2 months until I get on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the homeless crisis we have right now, people need to think out of the box and be as creative as they can. You know, one of my family members lives in a motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about tiny house solutions, like I know that's been a passion of yours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, different ways that people can access things that are affordable, because not everybody fits into the box that we have designed for them. And we don't have enough affordable subsidized housing for everybody that needs it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope there'll be a time when we do, but right now we don't.
Yeah.
So prevention is huge.
I really like what you said about acquiring skill sets. You know, the more valuable that we can become to this world, you know, the more that we could, you know, make an income.
Absolutely.
So I love what you said about that. And so, Sharon, tell me, what was it about La Frontera that made you want to work there?
You know, it's funny. It was kind of a God thing, I think, because a friend of mine recruited me to go to La Frontera. I was working in the operating room at Banner, and the RAP team position was not available at that time. So I went to work at La Frontera, but I also kept my job at Banner because I wasn't sure I wanted to work at La Frontera.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a meeting about a week after they hired me, and the director of rep said that she was resigning. And I jumped up in the middle of a big meeting and said, I want that job. And people looked at me like I was crazy, and they're like, okay, sit down, calm down, you know, we'll talk about that after the meeting's over. But yeah, things like that happen to me sometimes.
That's amazing. Awesome.
It was like the job picked me.
That's why you got the job.
Probably. I definitely had the passion for it.
And 18 years later, here you are.
Here I am.
Yeah, and it's definitely... Just like in my own personal note, I luckily got to see Sharon for every morning for like 6 months. I worked at the Sonora House, which stops at RAP because that's where you sign up to go to Sonora House, which does a day program where we provide breakfast and lunch. People can kind of relax, get out of the sun and get out of the cold, get clothes, kind of take showers.
Do their laundry.
Just a cool little respite area. And they sign up at the RAP Center because, you know, obviously you want them to speak with a person like Sharon. So she can inform them of what's available for them. They can get signed up and get on the list to, you know, possibly get housing. So definitely it's been a blessing working with you. I mean, you just certainly I've learned so much from you, and just the energy that you have every morning, first thing in the morning. I don't know how you do it. I appreciate it. It's certainly appreciated.
I've learned a lot from you too, John. You know, it takes all different types of people to help the homeless community get on their feet. It's not a one fix, you know, a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
Somebody that you might be able to form a relationship with wouldn't give me the time of day. So it really takes all different types to be able to work in this field.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and show a little love to La Frontera and the other amazing sponsors that make this show possible. Definitely, we want you to go to veteranrescuemission.org and show a little love. We definitely can use all the donations we can get. We have a homeless veteran transition center that has been blessed to be able to help 207 people get placed into housing, including a guy named Terry, who was referred to me by Sharon, who was an Army Airborne Ranger. So please show us all the love you possibly can. We need all the support we can get. And we will talk to you after the break. This is the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by that very veteran rescue mission.
Here Comes That Dreamer is a film documentary created by PJ McArdle, premiering at Harkins Tucson Spectrum 18 on November 15th. It's about an Iraq war veteran who comes home and uses war tactics he learned in Iraq to fight for the homeless in Tucson. To order tickets to the premiere, to get a copy of the documentary Here Comes That Dreamer, or to find out how you can show support and get involved with helping Tucson's homeless population, visit HereComesThatDreamer.com.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
La Frontera Center's supportive housing combines affordable housing assistance with wraparound supportive services for people experiencing homelessness, as well as people with disabilities. La Frontera Supportive Housing links decent, safe, affordable, community-based housing with flexible, voluntary, supported services designed to help the individual live a more productive life. Go to LaFronteraAZ.org for assistance or to donate your time or resources to one of Arizona's most impactful organizations.
And welcome back one more again to the Common Good Radio Show, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I sit here happy and elated for this last leg of the Common Good Radio Show, here with the Batman to my Superman, Mr. Andreas Ruiz, the, I believe in myself, Captain Crusader of this show. And in studio, we also have... Well, the people that I want to think the hero to heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Sharon
Absolutely.
Francis Absolutely. With La Frontera's Rap Center here to kind of just pour on us how to really figure it out. Like the big thing that you said earlier that I think really punched us right in the gut was like this idea that there's this discrepancy that if you don't go to a shelter or don't go to a transition services, that you're not eligible for housing services. And the problem isn't necessarily that they should be eligible, but these people are in a place where they still have these special type of resources that some may not have, like me, particularly when I've burned all bridges. I burned all bridges, and I needed those services. But people who do have, like, you know, an uncle or a cousin or somebody who can toss them a job or throw them some opportunity, take it.
Absolutely.
You know, jump on that with both feet.
And that's going to improve that person's self-esteem, too, because they're not even going to enter the homeless services system. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what entering that system does to someone's sense of worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people that drive down the street don't want to look at our homeless neighbors. Mm-hmm. They don't even want to see it, because if they see it, it might touch their heart and they might have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's painful, you know, to see a neighbor living on the street.
Yeah.
And if you don't have to enter into homelessness, why do that? Why enter into that system that's going to strip you of your sense of self-worth?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, take the strengths that you have and build on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So kind of a little change of pace, but I think something that is concerning to people. Additionally, we're here, you're hearing us muffled out there in the radio world. We're wearing our masks to pay respects to those essential workers that have to wear their masks sometimes up to 8 hours a day. I know you probably have to wear your mask a lot during the day.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other procedural changes that you've had, that you guys have made to deal with COVID-19 and stuff like that?
When it first came around in March, one of the first things that we did as a community is we got together at Ward 6 with Dr. Bob England from the Department of Health and started talking about how are we going to mitigate this in the homeless community?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was terrifying to think about somebody starting their day at RAP, going over to Primavera, going to a church to get a hot meal or all these other service sites and being potentially COVID positive.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have been like a Typhoid Mary, you know, passing it around Tucson.
Yeah.
So we started putting processes in place way back in March. At my facility in particular, we had to limit the number of people that can come into our drop-in center.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're limiting it to 4 people because that's the space that we have.
Yeah, and before it used to be as many 15, 20 people you'd have there. I mean, even back in the days, before you moved, you'd have 40, 50 people in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So having to do that was not good.
Mm-hmm.
But we also had to limit the number of people that could go to the day program.
Mm.
But at the same time, homeless people were being placed from the street into hotel rooms that were rented for this very purpose with money that was grant money from the COVID grants that are coming out. So there weren't as many people on the street needing the services at the same time. So that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've also implemented hygiene policies, hand washing, you know, made all this hygiene products and personal protective equipment available.
Mm-hmm.
We go out on the streets and pass out hand sanitizer and masks for folks. And we've been working with all the other service providers to just put anything into place that we can to assist the people that are living on the streets, prevent the spread of COVID as much as possible.
Mm.
And to be as creative as we can in not discharging these people from hotels back to the streets, but, you know, discharging them into some kind of permanent housing situation.
Yeah, and I think that's been my favorite thing to see, especially being a homeless advocate for the past decade, to see the way they're using those hotel vouchers and as soon as they're getting their hands on somebody, getting them into a secure place before
Absolutely.
They get housed rather than the way they're doing before. And also, our boss, Guillermo, would be mad at me if I didn't have you talk about the PATH grants and the different type of grants that, you know, that have made some of the things that you do possible.
Well, the PATH grant is a project for assistance in transition from homelessness, and it's a grant through the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration.
Mm.
La Frontera has had this grant for, we've been a part of it for over 20 years, but we were a subcontractor up until 5 years ago.
Okay.
So we were awarded the grant the first time 5 years ago, and we were just awarded it again in June.
Nice.
July 1st, we signed a new contract for the next 5 years.
Mm.
So it provides all the money to run the RAP team program.
Nice. And so, it's a grant that you get every 5 years. What was that process like to actually apply for and get that grant?
It took several weeks to put it together. Mm. You have to put together an intended use plan, a budget, and they also had us get on a meeting and, you know, tell us, okay, you could get more points in this area if you would do this, you could do this, you know, a little better in this area. But we're providing outreach services in Pima County, and that's 10,000 square miles. So to talk about how you're going to do that is a little, you have to be kind of creative, because our team is pretty small. It's only five people.
Yeah.
So to cover 10,000 square miles, we have to really, we have to keep driving like 24/7.
For sure. And I think kind of just to close what we've been talking about, we both sit on chairs on with the Tucson-Pima collaboration to end homelessness. I'm no longer actively sitting as a chair. I sat as a chair of the Coordinated Outreach Subcommittee and the Emergency Solutions Subcommittee, but you still are part of the TPCH, and I want to think even more entrenched and involved than you were before, possibly. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the committees have changed their structure a little bit. It was an election process this year, and so I was elected to the Coordinated Entry Committee.
Nice.
And that's the committee that really makes all the policy and procedure related to getting into housing in Pima County, and the process of using the VI SPDAT assessment and the way we do referrals and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm really happy to be a part of that.
And so what are you thinking, what can we expect from the Tucson-Pima collaboration, or what changes have happened with the Tucson-Pima collaborations recently?
I think one thing we've seen is that we can do things a little bit faster than we've done in the past. We did that with the contracts that the city entered into with the hotel owners. Usually those kind of contracts take months to get into place. And during a pandemic, it seems things can happen a lot faster. So if we can replicate some of that as we move forward, I think that would be good, to use what we've learned to maybe house people quicker.
Yeah,
because we seem to have been able to do that, but we kind of had a captive audience. That can be an issue with, you know, housing a homeless person, is once you've got a housing place for them, is finding them again. And so having them in hotel rooms made it a lot easier to locate them once the housing was available.
I think another big thing that I noticed was that, like you were saying earlier, all the Zoom meetings that you had, and I know, you know, having to go to 2 to 3 meetings sometimes per week sometimes, just being able to do that from my home or just being able to do that from one place, that makes things a little bit more expeditious.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think we saved a lot of time, and I think that we saw, you know, when we had 35 service providers at one time meeting daily on base camp meetings, we can figure stuff out really quickly that way. You know, we collaborated a lot more than we had in the past.
Yeah.
And I hope we can, you know, replicate that moving forward and keep some of that momentum going, because we have quite a bit of momentum right now.
Yeah, well, with you there pushing, driving that ship, you know, being up there with the captains, I think we're going to be good. And again, thank you for coming on the show with
thank
us, Sharon.
Thank you,
it's
for having
a, you're a pleasure to be your coworker. Proud to say that I am. And
my pleasure. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And those who tune in to listen, you're welcome for getting to listen to us and hear our fun. And we appreciate you. God bless.
Peace.
La Frontera Center's supportive housing combines affordable housing assistance with wraparound supportive services for people experiencing homelessness, as well as people with disabilities. La Frontera Supportive Housing links decent, safe, affordable, community-based housing with flexible, voluntary, supported services designed to help the individual live a more productive life. Go to LaFronteraAZ.org for assistance or to donate your time or resources to one of Arizona's most impactful organizations.
The primary teaching mechanism at Tucson International Academy will continue to be in person, in classroom, as this is the best method for most of what your child needs to learn. And what has dramatically contributed to Tucson International Academy's record of 100% of their seniors being accepted for college? Call Tucson International Academy today at 230-3828 or go to TucsonInternationalAcademy.com to provide your child with the greatest possibility of reaching the next level.
GAP Ministries is all about impacting one life because they believe that each and every person matters to God. They strive to build up each child they care for and each individual they serve. That is why we at Veteran Rescue Mission volunteer our time in their kitchen and warehouse every week. And we suggest you do too. Go to gapmin.com to get involved and donate to this blessed organization today.